This is the show you were looking for. Bo Mitchell, Bob Belch, you get the blessing. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Bo. That's, you know, that was really a biblically inspired song. Those that wait upon the Lord will mount up like with wings like eagles. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything we do here is biblically inspired, if not somewhat warped.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's why we like it. Yeah. So, you doing all right?
I'm doing great. How are you this morning?
Never better. I know you had a little knee surgery, and you're up and around ready to relaunch your attempt at professional athletics.
That's right. And of course, the way I did that was that I had Tom Noonan do the surgery, and he does the surgery for the Rockies. And I said, when I'm finished, will I be able to play baseball? And he said, sure. And I said, great, because I couldn't play baseball before the surgery. So,
all right. Chuck King's in the studio with us. Chuck, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Hey, Chuck.
Chuck's been here before. He's the dean of the Leadership and Business School at Colorado Christian University. And let me just refresh your memories for our new guests, our new listeners today. This is You Get the Blessing, and our program each week introduces you to someone from this region that we think is making an impact, positive impact for lives and positive impact for Christ and the things of his kingdom. And Chuck is a great example of that, and I'm always proud to be with you anywhere, Chuck, especially on this show this morning.
Thanks. You know what? I don't know that I'm making an impact, but I'm really proud to be a part of an organization that I think is making a big impact in the Denver area.
CCU.
Colorado Christian University. Under Senator Bill Armstrong's leadership as our new president, we are on a trajectory to climb out to be one of the great universities in the country.
All right. I know you don't think I've ever jogged in my life, but there was a period when Bob Belts, my co-host here today, looked at me and said, we need to start jogging. We're getting older. Let's get in shape. So
we called it running back then, but it was not really running.
We were barely moving. But
I thought about jogging the other day, but I laid down till the feeling went away.
That's
I want to segue into our specific topic of leadership today, though, by saying my friend Bob Beal has always taught every organization is a direct reflection of its leadership for good or for bad. And I want to remind you, Bob, of a race we did on a snowy morning. I think it was called the Melvin Schoolhouse Race to save some old building out by Cherry Creek High School.
Melvin Schoolhouse Run.
Run, okay.
Yeah.
So tell them what happened, because I remember being sick, and I remember specifically us going along at our slow pace together and you saying something to me that was very profound.
Well, first of all, we woke up and there was 12 inches of snow on the ground.
No exaggeration.
And we're thinking, now surely they'll cancel the race. And then we found out, nope, going to run it anyway. So we went, I think it was Smoky Hill High School where it started from.
You're right.
I don't know, a bunch of other crazy people showed up, 12 inches of snow. And, of course, the guy says, you know, get ready, on your mark, set, go. And the whole pack takes off. And about 5 minutes later, you and I we're running with the crowd across the middle of some field through about, you know, 2 feet of snow, climbing over fences. You remember that?
Yes.
Barbed wire fence, all kind of stuff. And I remember looking at you saying, you know, this has to be wrong, you know. And you were getting sick. I think you kept saying, I'm not a well person.
We actually, we must have been 8 minutes into it because you and I used to go like nine and a half, ten minutes a mile. And the person clicked the watch after a mile and said 6:40.
Oh, yeah. We were in trouble already. And then
way too fast.
way out in the middle of nowhere, and I think I said the lead runner must have taken the wrong turn.
You said to me specifically, this is going to make a great sermon someday and a terrible run the rest of the day because we don't know where we are. And you pointed out the leaders must have gone the wrong way, and we're all following like a bunch of dumb sheep.
And I remember when we got in and the guy stood up and apologized to us, and the first words out of his mouth were, "We're really sorry you weren't supposed to be out in the middle of those fields, but the leader took the wrong turn."
Yeah, so segues perfectly into our guest Chuck King today and what he is as a leader, and as you mentioned, Chuck, what Bill Armstrong has been in terms of this country and leadership, and you too, Bob, and the leadership you've exhibited your whole life. But leadership's a broad topic, and I want to discuss it today, and then I want to talk specifically about what's coming up next week, Chuck. So just tell us, in general terms, your feeling about leadership and what you folks are teaching out at CCU.
Well, you know, there's an old adage that says no organization rises above the level of its leadership. And what we're about at Colorado Christian University is training the next generation of leaders. And the good news is we're training those leaders with all the traditional leadership skills and all the business skills and other skills that they'd get at any other school. But we have the added advantage of being able to integrate faith in the classroom, and we do that in every classroom. And of course, you know, it's always interesting to me to read leadership books, and I'm sure you and Bob see the same thing. You see all these quotes in leadership books, and people have no idea that that's a biblical concept. And they, as Ron Rex likes to say, one of our professors, they just deleted the footnotes.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah.
Well, that's a good word, very true. And I was thinking even about the sports teams I see, and I visit clubhouses with Teammates for Kids, our foundation that asks athletes to donate money to help kids. And it's all a reflection of the leadership. So you either go on the right way, right attitudes expressed, the right camaraderie and cultural climate, character out of a locker room, or the wrong. And you can just almost see it right down to a individual that he's either been led properly or misled and ends up like Bob and I were that morning out in the middle of some field wondering, how'd we get here? Well, the leader took you there. So I think it's been great what you've done with your conference coming up next week, and we want to start talking about that and some of the speakers and hopefully encouraging you listeners who are tuned in today to maybe change your schedule this Wednesday and attend this conference and get blessed by meeting Chuck King, our guest today, and some of the folks who are going to be there. So start describing what's going on next Wednesday for us, Chuck.
Well, I certainly wouldn't want to be critical of you and Bob, but one of the things we teach our students is the follower has some responsibility to make sure the leader's on the right track. We call it leading from below. And we talk about that. I say to my students, you know, where were all of the Christians at Enron? Why didn't some accounting, junior accountant stand up and say, wait a minute, what's going on here is not the right thing? And I think, of course, in today's economy, we're seeing that in spades, where people blindly followed leaders down a path that's created a major problem.
It's what Schindler's List was about, isn't it?
Exactly.
Somebody at least said, whoa, this doesn't quite seem right to me here.
Right. And the whole VALS conference came from the idea that as I was teaching our students, I realized that they were missing two things. One was good role models. What they read about in the paper were all of the leaders of companies that were going down the wrong path. And the other was the understanding that there is a cost to being a values-aligned leader. You know, the old adage that if you just do the right thing, it'll always work out right. Sometimes you do the right thing and you get fired because you raised the wrong question. And the question is, do you have the character to stand up to that? So the Values Aligned Leadership Summit is about character. We developed a model for making ethical decisions, and we based it upon the assumption that there's no company out there that espouses bad values. Every company says our values are we're going to have integrity and honesty and all these kinds of things. But then they put systems in place that reward people for violating those values.
You've obviously never been to Hollywood, by the way. But
yeah, that's right. That's right. But there's no company that says, we're going to have our values are to lie, steal, and cheat. They don't publish that, but what they don't adhere to what they publish. So the whole idea of values-aligned leadership is when your values are in place and you know the purpose of your organization, then do your systems, do your financial systems that reward people in sales, your systems that hold people accountable, do they hold them accountable to those values? Or do they sort of look the other way when your best salesman's doing something that violates your values because he's making money?
Hmm. Good point.
So what happens next Wednesday? I know you've got some great speakers lined up. I know there's going to be fellowship among business leaders that are examples, and the students will be there. But what's the day look like?
Well, first of all, the conference is designed so that we have tables of eight, and we have four students and four business people at each table. Part of the goal of the conference is to get students to have role models, to say, hey, here's somebody out there in the business world who's doing it right. And then the agenda for this year's conference is just amazing, and it couldn't be more timely. It's all about the role of business in a free market economy. And we have Lawrence Reed, who's the president of the Foundation for Economic Education, who, in my view, is one of the leading free market economists in the country. We have Bob Wilson, who's the founder of the Center for Neighborhood Enterprise, who says the way to solve poverty is not through handouts, but through hand up, by helping people develop jobs and get jobs that will lead them out of their poverty. We have Dan Cathy, current CEO of Chick-fil-A, who's coming in. And, of course, we all know what Chick-fil-A's role has been in every community they've been in, and that's what he's coming here to talk about. What's the role of business in the community it's in? And we have Bud Ahern, who is the retiring vice chairman of CH2M Hill and the former chief engineer for the Pentagon. When we went out to visit with Bud at his place of business, it was amazing. Here's a guy who's vice chairman of the board in a company that has, I don't know, 3,000-4,000 employees in a couple buildings or three buildings there. Every person in the organization walked up and hugged him or gave him a handshake saying, hey, Bud, it's good to see you. And he would call them by name and say, hey, how's that son of yours doing in baseball? It was one of the most amazing examples of leadership I've ever seen. And then, of course, no conference for CCU would be complete without Senator Bill Armstrong, who's going to talk about the role of education in a free market economy.
Wow. That's quite a lineup. And how does somebody jump in here? How can they make the decision right now, listening to KOA and our show, and say, okay, I'm writing this down. I'm going to call this number. I'm going to do this next Wednesday.
They can go to www.ccu.edu/vals, V-A-L-S.
Say that again.
www.ccu.edu/vals. V-A-L-S, or they can call me at 720-838-4195. And we are interested in people. We have a lot of table sponsors and some great sponsors for the conference, and we're, of course, always willing to accept more sponsors. But more than anything, we want business people who are willing to spend the day with a group of students helping to mold the next generation of leaders, because in addition to these speakers, we have table discussions around the tables after each speaker where the executives and the students get to interact with one another.
That's great.
And it goes from sun up to sundown.
Because of the length of the agenda, registration's at 7:30. The conference will kick off at 8, and we're going till 4:30, and it's bang, bang, bang. We're having a dessert. We have a terrific lunch. It's steak and salmon lunch. During the dessert, we're going to have the Legacy Quartet performing for us. So it's an amazing conference.
Am I in that group?
You know, Bo, we actually auditioned you, and your baseball songs just didn't get it.
Oh, okay. It's all right. I never get asked to sing, Mark. Mark Klibbe's in here today. What do you think of that?
Hey, Mark. He's my chauffeur for the day, so it's good to have him.
Did you pick him up?
Talking about biblical leadership, it's interesting. I actually this week, while I was recuperating, was actually reading a book about
from
leadership.
Knee surgery.
leadership on in the life of Moses. And, you know, you really think about the scriptures, and really some of the greatest leaders in history are not only in the scripture, but, you know, if you take time to kind of look at how they led, I mean, it's amazing. So you look at a guy like Moses that, you know, leads 3 million people out of slavery and has to take a crowd and build it into a nation and get it into, you know, the land, and what he went through. It's quite a, you know, an education leadership. And then you think about Paul, same thing, New Testament. I mean, here's a guy that really, becomes sort of the leader of the early movement of the church, and taking this entire movement following Jesus outside of kind of a small, very Jewish kind of a context that might not have ever left Jerusalem in some ways, and really taking that message and planting churches all the way across Europe, and the leadership that you see in his life that really changed the world. So, I mean, and ultimately the greatest leader of all, Jesus Christ, who, you know, takes, 12 guys a lot like us, which is encouraging, because they weren't, none of them were, probably rocket scientists even in that day, but and shapes their lives and turns them into men that really lead a movement that changes the world. So,
Bob, the common characteristic of those three leaders is they never forgot their purpose. And our leadership model starts with identifying the purpose. And if the leaders of all these corporations who have taken them down the wrong path had looked and said, look, my purpose is not to enrich myself, it's to look after the shareholders of the organization, we wouldn't have that problem. And guess what? You guys know, because you deal with them all the time, there's a lot of nonprofits in that same boat.
Yeah.
Right. I was thinking about vows. So here's how the conference is going to look. Great speakers, educating, motivating, instructing. But then what we're shooting for is some of you businessmen that are listening, businesswomen, to come and sit with students and discuss in table talk, but also role model by who you are and how you carry yourself, how you talk, how you don't talk, how you think all day long. And probably the greatest leadership experiences I've ever had, the greatest leaders that have ever influenced me, did it just by lifestyle and by example more than their words. I was thinking about my mother, who, when she passed away, got 12 letters about to the house about a week after she had died in 1976. At age 54, it was kind of rough to lose her so early. But 12 different letters that said, Margaret was the best friend I had in the world. Now, that's leadership right there. And the reason that impacted me is I was thinking, that's incredible. How could all these people think that mom, this little lady, was individually their best friend? And that's how she took time in her busy day to make every person feel special that way. And you're going to meet some leaders like that in spite of being placed in these incredible platforms, like Bill Armstrong, Chuck King, who take time with you as an individual. I've never been around Armstrong, including right here in this studio, when he didn't just make you feel pretty darn special about who you are and what you're doing.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I had a chance, by the way, you were talking about the visit you made to the business, and the business that kind of modeled this for you. And I actually had a chance to be down at Chick-fil-A headquarters about, I think it was a year and a half ago. I met Dan briefly. I actually was with Bubba, his brother, you know, and Bubba is like a total character. But their organization just sort of radiates that, you know, even in the headquarters building and everyone you run into, you just have this sense that, you know, that there's something good happening here. And of course, you know, they took a stand when they first started that, unlike many businesses, that we're just not going to be open on Sunday. Yeah. And I think that in and of itself is a great statement that, you know, that that they would take that kind of a stand and say, hey, you know, we'll trust the Lord to provide what we need through the other 6 days without having to make people work on that day. And they're a good company.
As a matter of fact, one of the few things you can do to lose your operating agreement is to open your store on Sunday. Yeah. And when they recruit operators, they don't even want to talk about business until they get through the character piece.
Yeah.
They've told me, we look for character. We can teach them how to run a business. And you know, Bo, I was going to mention this is the 7th annual VALS conference, which kind of hit a low point about 4 years ago when you were the speaker.
Well, I like to thin the crowd out wherever I go.
Yeah, no, you were awesome, and you made a huge impact on our students by sharing your life story. And the theme of the conference that year is, you know, we don't always do it right, and sometimes we have to make a turn and go the other direction.
That's why you picked me to speak. I forgot the theme was we don't always do it right, and here he is now, Bo Mitchell, our example.
No, and, you know, the other thing I was going to say, you mentioned at your Nuggets of Gold event the other day that one player who's not the coach, not even the leading scorer, comes in and turns around a franchise just because of the energy he brings and the attitude he brings to the team. And I think the same thing is true in business.
Yeah, one guy can make the difference. Remember LaFonso Ellis getting on that bus against Seattle? Remember that story I used to tell about everybody was just happy to be at Game 5 and just kind of punchy because no 8 seed had never beaten a 1 seed, and the Nuggets were playing Seattle. And Fonz got on the bus. Everybody was kind of messing around, which was uncharacteristic of a pregame bus going from the hotel to the arena. And Fonz started touching the players on their shoulders, saying, "Do you believe we're going to change history or make history today?" Hmm. And each person had to say yes to him finally. And just one guy leading like he did turned that around. We won that game in overtime. And that's the game where Dikembe was laying there holding that basketball. But good memories. Hmm. So, VALS, call Colorado Christian University. They'll tell you how to get there.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you just go on your search engine and put in Colorado Christian University, will the first page that pops up, will it direct you to
there
this?
Will be a link on there for VALS. And the other way is, of course, to call me at 720-838-4195.
Okay, so this has been, you get the blessing, but I want to take our last few minutes and do this. Some folks aren't going to be able to make VALS, and they're in their cars today listening to you, Bob, and you, Chuck, and thinking, what's my takeaway this morning? So let's talk a little bit about how everybody, in some ways, we're followers, and in some ways we're leaders. So what should we be as leaders in terms of our homes, our neighborhoods, our businesses? What are just some things that make us stand up men and women in terms of leadership?
You know, one of the greatest definitions of leadership that I heard, our mutual friend in Kansas City, Bob Lehleitner, you know, who has been a great leader, said to me, you know, to be a leader, you only need two things. Number one, you need to be one step ahead of everybody else and headed in the right direction. And so I think that that's a
ahead of everybody else and headed in the right direction.
Yeah. And so, I mean, for particularly in our families and with our friends and in whatever our context, if we kind of keep our eyes on Christ and following him, we know we're headed in the right direction, and then kind of stepping out and being, you know, being a leader and, you know, taking a stand, like you said. I think that's kind of the, you know, the one step ahead.
You know, I think people of character have to stand up. And there's a lot of conversation today about the whole economic meltdown. And you can really trace it back to people not stepping up and taking responsibility. Where are the shareholders in these organizations who aren't saying to the board of directors, hey, why is the president making all of this money and the company's going down the tubes? Because they get to elect those directors, and the directors hire the president.
Yeah, so pay attention. Are we making right choices or wrong choices as we live every day, and take responsibility? I preached a sermon 15 years ago on a Time magazine cover that was entitled The Blame Game, and how everything is somebody else's fault. I do think that is a great central theme for a leader, is takes responsibility. I mean, what are we doing pointing fingers? And nobody's messed it up more than me, and nobody could look at their lives and think, boy, I got the short end of that stick, in some cases more than me, and what happened to me legally 17 years ago, on one hand. On the other hand, I told my family, hey, your dad was making stupid choices, hanging around with wrong people, and we're not blaming anybody. We're trusting God here, we're surrendering, and we're trying to learn what lessons he has to teach us.
I was just thinking, you know, kind of a final comment going all the way back to our running experience. Make sure the people you're following, you know, the leaders you're following, that they're headed in the right direction. And I think that's key.
And sometimes you have to ask the hard question.
More often than not. So, VALS this week, folks, I do wish you could just pause in your schedule and attend the conference. I'll be there with Chuck all day long, and you can overcome that. You can overcome my presence and still have a good day. It's a long day, but it's a day you won't soon, if ever, forget. And I'd encourage you to make that choice. So, Chuck, thank you for being the leader you are. Thank you, Bill Armstrong, for being the president of CCU now and stepping up again to the plate towards the, let's say, the fourth quarter of your life anyway, and leading that university to the great things that are to come. So, way to go, Chuck.
Thank you guys for the work you're doing. And, you know, one of the things that you're doing is you're highlighting leaders in the community, and we need to do that. And your program is a leadership program because it does that very thing.
And, you know, folks, that you listeners that are tuned in, thanks for letting us know that you're on board with us and enjoy what we're doing. Bob, it's good having you as a partner.
It's great to be with you. And I was just going to say, you know, if you're out there listening and you have kids or you're getting ready to go to college and you haven't figured out where to send them yet, you really should check out CCU. It's a great school. And I'm going to be, you know, on Sunday night with a friend in Florida whose daughter's thinking about coming and be an advocate for the university. So,
all right. And we enjoy being with you all every Sunday morning. Bless you. Have a great day and be a blessing to someone else. Also, don't forget that you can go to our website, yougettheblessing.com, and nominate people for our furniture giveaway. We like surprising folks with a house full of furniture now and then. So
yep.
Jump with us in with us and join us on that, because it's a miracle.
And to paraphrase Isaiah, wait on the Lord and fly like an eagle.
Yeah. See you next week, guys. Thanks for being with us.
Time keeps on slipping. Into the future. Time keeps on slipping. Into the future.